Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. We have John Dislin on with us, and John has written a really good book, and we've talked about it before on air, but I think it's more timely now than ever. And so we're going to have John talk about the book and also some things that relate to the book about being strong in difficult times. And we are in difficult times. My state, for example, has totally gone over to the communists. We are now California. We have a criminal secretary of state, a criminal governor, and I do not mean that lightly. They have committed crimes. And our supervisors in Maricopa County, totally corrupt. They stole the election again. And so it's gone. And these are difficult times. And, you know, Wisconsin, you're in the same boat. Across the country, Pennsylvania, you're in the same boat. Ladies and gentlemen, we're losing. The Republican Party is controlled by globalists. Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy, the head of the RNC. It's over. It's over. The Republicans are not a viable threat because of communist leadership. So we're going to talk about what people can do in difficult times because, as Joe Biden once said, it's going to be a dark winter. Those words are going to be prophetic in this age. And John's going to be talking about how we deal with this. But before we join him, first of all, I need to let you know, if you don't have your storable food, all I got to say, ladies and gentlemen, is this is the time, and you really, really need to jump into this right now, because in a little while, it's very possible you're not going to get food, anything shipped to you. Railroad strike looms. Diesel crisis is back, only better than ever. And Biden won't be selling down to the Chinese, ruining national security to keep the prices down. He's going to let them go to hell in a handbasket because the election's over. So you need your storable food now. My Patriot Supply is the best there is. They've held price lines. They do not play games like so many of the people out there do. Would you get $250 off the three-month special? And I would recommend getting 2 years' worth to buffer yourself along with seeds. We don't sell the seeds, but you need both. And I'd recommend you do that now. Go to preparewithdave.com. Also, too, if you have food, you better have water because we're going to see roving blackouts across the country before much longer. We're going to be Germany. We're going to be England. We're going to be all these people. Yeah, we're all in the same boat, all being enslaved by the World Economic Forum's dominions. So you need water filtration. The best in the business with the sale is the Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter, waterwithdave.com. So you got the food, foodwithdave.com. You got the water, waterwithdave.com. That's a start. Those are two of the things that you absolutely must have, and that's where we're gearing our advertising. We've dumped advertising, folks, and we're basically focusing 95% on things I think you're going to need. Please, please take care of your preparations. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, and tools. And, of course, a good book by our author, John Dislin, who's going to be here talking to us about good old Nehemiah. And boy, did he have lessons for the present time. John, welcome to the show, my friend. We are indeed in the worst crisis I think our country's ever been in.
We are. And, you know, it's folks in our space have said in recent times that, you know, the storm that people have been talking about for years and years is no longer on the horizon. The storm is here. We're in the midst of the storm. But, you know, what's beautiful is that we know as believers that, you know, we're not alone. And this isn't the first time this sort of thing has happened. And it's no surprise to God. So, you know, Dave, what I really felt led, you know, I've been thinking about the coming holiday season, right?
John, one thing, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but is there any way you could get a little closer to the mic or boost your volume just a tad?
Sure, absolutely.
I'm sorry to interrupt you on that, but I want to make sure everyone's hearing every word you're saying.
That's okay. Let me see.
Is
this better?
That was much better. Thank you. Okay, so in the holiday season, you were about to say...
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about the holiday season and about how the enemy wants to steal our joy, right? And we know from Nehemiah chapter 8 that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I've felt it hard on my spirit in the last couple of weeks, looking forward to talking to folks like you. You know, what should the message be coming out of this broken election season and going into this holiday season? And for me, it is that we need to flip the script on our enemy. You know, our enemies, I guess I should say, you know, they want us downtrodden. They want us hopeless. They want our spirit broken. They want us to give in. And we need to frankly redouble our efforts for having victory in this season. And I think a big piece of victory in this season is in really pressing in and chasing after having a joyful season. You know, and Dave, I'd be curious about your background, but so many of us have so many fond memories of the holidays, right?
Oh, yeah.
Thanksgiving, Christmas.
I'm the last surviving family member of my immediate family, and I'm blessed to have a great family of my own. But yeah, it's there are moments of remembrance, joy, and sometimes sorrow because of what I no longer have. Yeah, so you're right.
Mm. Yep. So I've really been pressed to to speak to that and talk about that today, if you're all right with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. And what I'd like to do is exactly. And not only do we need the encouragement, Dave, but we need to be the encouragement, right? For other people in our lives and our families, et cetera. So I'd like to start with a Bible verse, which always seems like a good place to start. and this Bible verse is Isaiah 41:10. And it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And I love that verse because it starts with the fear that we all are prone to. But it finishes with strength and God's help and ultimately victory, right? So it's in the spirit of that I want to talk through actually seven different points I've got for folks, and hopefully we got time to get to all of them.
Okay.
That
right.
I really wanted to encourage people with, okay? So the first one is, and I call this cut out the chaff. And I think this is imperative, you know, in the season that we're living in, that we remove the repetitive sin in our lives, the addictions in our lives that so easily trip us up, so easily lead us astray and lead us to a place that isn't satisfying. It's not fulfilling. It's not encouraging. It's not joyful. And we're all subject to it, right? And in fact, in 1 John 2:16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." And so that stuff in your life that you know ought not be there, just commit yourself to removing it, to getting it out of your life. And I've been there. You know, before I got saved in 2014, I was really prone to porn. I was, and I had an addiction to chewing tobacco because I grew up here in the South, and that's what you did. I mean, I don't know about you, Dave, but in the South, when you're a teenager, you just chew skull. That's just what you do.
But you know, my addiction took a little different form. My addiction was playing too much basketball on cement, and today I got the knees to show for it. So scars by a different obsession.
Oh, well. Yeah, and that's it's a funny thing because an idol can take a lot of forms, right? I mean, it can be, for me, football was, believe it or not, was a bit of an idol in terms of rooting for, you know, my favorite hometown team for years and years. And I knew way too much about the football team, and I didn't know nearly enough about, you know, scripture, the Bible. So it comes in different forms. And that addiction thing, I just really encourage folks, if you know Jesus and if you're walking with the Lord and if you still have an addiction, lay your burden on the Lord. Don't try and beat it yourself. Ask him to carry it for you and to remove that desire for whatever it is from you. And he will. I mean, that's how I kicked chewing tobacco for all those years. Was one day I gave it over to him and I never did it again. And so there is hope in addiction, and I really encourage anybody who's subject to that. Because, Dave, and I know you know this, but addiction is a form of enslavement. And when I really started getting I won't use that word, when I really started getting agitated
Yeah,
about
okay, I understand.
being addicted to smokeless tobacco, was when I realized that I participated in my own enslavement. I was my own jailer, and Satan was just sitting on the sideline laughing at me. And that gave me motivation to quit it, because I knew I was being conned, and I knew I was part of the con. And that really helped my mindset to be a lot more, frankly, to use anger in a positive way to beat the addiction, because I was agitated, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
I would use another word, but I won't use it here. So, do you have any further commentary on
No,
that
I
first
listen.
point?
I think you're on a roll, but I will say this in a related fashion in a recent current events. When I look at elections that didn't go our way, that clearly were stolen, the one thing I would say to people is we can point the finger at our enslavers, but you got three fingers pointing back at you. And the old saying, the only thing that evil needs to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Well, just showing up and voting or mailing in your ballot, that wasn't enough. You should have been active 365. You should have been talking to neighbors. You should have been doing volunteer work, because now we've chosen the hellhole we're living in. And I'm just speaking from a political standpoint. I could go into any domain and talk about how life has degenerated in America, but we're ultimately to blame for our own inaction. Now, I know this is not scriptural, but I believe it's true. God will help those who help themselves, and then I'll add the scriptural part in his name.
Yeah. Well, and I'll actually use a verse that I think determines that it is scriptural, Dave. And you and I have talked about this, I think, before, but as I've talked to people about my book, Nehemiah Strong, and what it's about, what the essence of it is, I was really moved to the scripture of Isaiah 59:19, in which the back half of it says, "When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against it." And that standard, Dave, as you know, is that's a battlefield picture. That is someone, a color bearer, raising up that flag, that battle flag, and it's a call to arms, it's a call to action. And so I contend that that scripture supports your position that God is looking to us to faithfully move in his power against this evil, and basically to shove it into the sea.
I hope so. I mean, it's just, I suppose this is a time to tell you what I'm doing, and I like to look at myself as an ever-evolving work that Lord is shaping and molding and trying to squeeze out all my impurities and imperfections.
He's sanctifying you, Dave, right?
I hope so, but he has led me to leave the Republican Party because it's controlled by globalists, and strike out in a different direction in his name. And so I'm not saying I won't vote for Republicans. There's many I admire. Carrie Lake was one of them. She was who she said she was. There was no BS to her. And there are great people in that party, but the leadership's controlled by people who worship Satan. They are globalists. They're controlled by the Bank of International Settlements, and I mean Mitch McConnell. He makes more money off of China than he does us. And I could go on and on and on. And I'm saying to heck with these people. I'm not following people that I know are inherently evil. So I'm setting out on my own independent path. I'm not done politically. In fact, I think I'll even be more effective, because I'll be less hesitant to come out with scandals about people because for fear it'll hurt candidates I like by the fallout. But I don't care any longer. It's time for us to boldly go forward and speak the truth in every situation without consideration for political ramifications. So that's kind of my thing, and I think God's convicted my soul that yes, you've tried, but you've got to be more pure in your efforts, and that's what God's been telling me.
Wow. And that reminds me of a verse that says, what fellowship does light have with darkness, right? If you can't shove the darkness out of the Republican Party because it's so entrenched, and it's so entrenched at the top, then to heck with them, right? Go somewhere else.
Exactly.
Okay,
And I
so
don't like party politics anyway, which is another deal. I think we should have multiple parties like they do in Europe, and it makes it easy for the corrupt to control two as c compared to control six. But in the reality is this, is that Satan has invaded our country, John, at every single level. Every time I turn around, let me just give you an example. This is just one small example, my friend. You got Katie Hobbs, who absolutely is for every communist approach there is. Open borders, to fentanyl killing our kids. She doesn't care, or she wouldn't want open borders. But her husband, this is just permeates. Her husband, it's a legal profession, but it doesn't mean it's godly. He cuts the genitals off of children at Phoenix Children's Hospital. Now, do we want to be ruled by families like this? This is what I ask people to decide. You know, I'm not demeaning the man. I'm telling the truth about what he does for a living, and I'm telling you as a Christian, I don't accept it. Kids need counseling, not cutting.
Yeah, that is, I really got convicted. I think I've told you this before, but I got convicted about abortion back in 2015 by Flip Benham, who's righteously raged against it for decades, almost half a century, and fought against it for a couple of years. But I never thought I would find a low lower than abortion, but this mutilation, genital mutilation of adolescents. And, even younger, right? Toddlers, as young as it goes, is might be worse than abortion. It's hard to say,
It's
but
in the same
it's
ballpark.
certainly
Let's
an
put it this way.
abomination.
The people who participate, God will have a special place in hell because the millstone comment comes up in my mind.
Right. That millstone being cast into the deepest part of the sea would be better than what's in store for them.
That's
And
exactly right.
God keeps a good ledger. He's the perfect bookkeeper, and he's going to square that ledger. And that gives me comfort, Dave. That's his
Know.
righteous vengeance, gives me comfort that he's going to take care of that.
Amen, brother, because I'll tell you, I have frustrations every day with the evil that I can't seem to undo despite my best efforts. And I have to sit back, take a deep breath, and say, you don't have that much power. The Lord does.
And in good time, he's going to square that up. Absolutely. Can I move on with
Yes,
my little
please.
shopping list, my holiday shopping list?
Okay.
Okay, so here's shopping list number two, or item number two. Dedicate yourself to being joyful. Okay, and I've got a verse for that. It's Isaiah 15:9. It says, "But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame." That's a verse for this season. And the reason I'm pivoting around joy and happiness and family and all these things, Dave, is I think in this season, I think that's the very thing they want to rob from us, right? The holidays and all the memories of Thanksgiving and Christmas, they don't want those things. And I think we double down on chasing after joy in this season.
Okay, I agree.
And by the
Happiness, I
way,
agree. Happiness is a choice. And if you're having trouble with
yes.
that, you can ask the Lord for help. But happiness is a choice.
Amen. Amen. Brother, I'm glad we're sharpening iron together because I was literally those words were in my mouth. I was going to say, chase after it. If you need it, go pray for it, right? My people have not because they ask not, as it says in James. So if you need joy in this season, get on your knees and pray for it and then receive it like you believed what you prayed for. Amen. I love that. So here's my third shopping item. My third wish list item for your listeners today is get back to basics. Do you remember your dinner times when you were growing up with your mom and your dad? And I don't know if you had siblings, but you're sitting there and you're talking about the day. And I'll tell you, we just last night we had one of those. And unfortunately, a lot of the times we don't because of people's schedules and kids doing things, but we had one last night, and people were laughing and making fun of each other and talking about silly things that happened. And I stopped everybody. I said, "Do you guys realize you are having more fun than all of the nonsense Bravo Sierra, video games and social media apps and all that stuff? None of that Do I hear you laughing and joking like you are here at the dinner table tonight? So we need to, and it's funny, I put these notes together I sent you, and there's a picture I put side of these of the Norman, the iconic Norman Rockwell Thanksgiving turkey picture, you know, with the family gathered around the dinner table. And I'd be curious to hear your thoughts on this day, but when I was growing up, I remember thinking, you know, my dad, he didn't know that much. My mom, she hadn't really figured it out. And, you know, I, of course, I knew everything because I was 17 or
Yeah, me
18.
too. I had the
And
same disease.
yeah. And looking back now, they knew so much in terms of the fundamentals, you know, just being important and being a really right source of simple joy and happiness, family, getting together with friends, and I've got a list of stuff here, but like having family dinner together, like I spoke to about last night, getting back to nature. You know, I took my family recently on a hike, and we just had the best time, just out in nature. We played a board game a couple months ago, and just had a hilarious time. So much better than watching some stupid TV program, and throwing frisbee in the front yard. Just getting back to the way that we used to have fun when we were kids, and the way our parents had fun when they were kids, and while we were growing up, we need to get back to that stuff.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, we're distracted. Our kids are distracted by our phones, and our generation is distracted by television at the dinner table.
Yeah. And we need to fight against that. I'm not saying never turn your TV on again, although, you know, that might be a good move. But spend a little time turning stuff off and plugging into each other. And in fact, I got another scripture here in Nehemiah 18 where he's talking about celebrating. He said, "Go your way, eat the fat, drink sweet wine, send portions to anyone who has nothing, for this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And we need to really press into that in this season because the enemy wants to rob it of us, and we need to double down on it.
Yeah, absolutely. I could not agree with that more. This is what we need to
All
hear
right.
too. In the stunning aftermath of the red wave that turned into the red puddle, I think that we really
Yeah.
need to have encouragement and not lose sight of who we really serve. We don't serve the Republican Party or any other political entity. We serve the Lord, and a lot of times we choose these imperfect vehicles as a way to try to get to the Lord, and then we're confused on why that doesn't work.
Yeah, amen. And those negative habits versus positive habits, they have a real effect on us, you know? And I really feel convicted that getting back to basic things, turning off those devices that suck our energy, suck our attention, suck our days away, and getting more relational, frankly, with one another, can really make a big difference in terms of carrying the day and having joy defiantly against those who would wish for us to be hopeless. Let me mention something here, Dave, that I actually put this together a couple of years ago for my own family, and I really feel convicted to try and share this with people in this season, okay? As Dave mentioned, when we started the program, I read a book called Nehemiah Strong, and it's basically it's a field manual for believers to be equipped to stand and overcome in this season of trial. And it's just got a lot of stuff, and it's 480 pages long. But outside of that, a couple of years ago, I put together for Advent season. Dave, you remember either with your kids or when you were a kid where you had an Advent calendar and every day you opened it and there'd be a little ring inside or a chocolate or a candy or something like
Oh
that?
yeah.
Okay. So I felt convicted before I wrote the book, actually, to put this thing together for my own family. And it basically is a celebration of God's prophetic word as it pertains to the Messiah, who, of course, is Jesus. And One of the when I got saved, one of the things that just blew my mind when I came to really understand the depth of it and the power of it was prophecy in Scripture, and particularly prophecy pertaining to Jesus, and how, mathematically speaking, it's actually impossible that he's not who he said he was. Okay. And that's a whole other program. That actually would be, that'd be an interesting program, Dave, is talk about mathematics for people who want proof. We in 1 hour, we can show them beyond any doubt.
Yeah, I
want to
do that. That's fascinating. And, you know, it's interesting you say that, because mathematics is, we often say if we ever encountered an alien race out there, hypothetically speaking, that mathematics would be the language in common.
Yeah. Well, look, God is who do you think invented math, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He's the God of numbers. Look, read Revelation and see how many sevens there are, right? But anyway, that's a whole other program. But I guarantee every listener that I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the Messiah based on prophecy. But that's we'll set that aside for today. But there's a piece of that, because if you go to my website, okay, johndislin.com, you don't have to buy anything. And if you go to the menu, I just had my web gal add a menu item called Advent. If you click on Advent, it will open a PDF document. And if you print that document out two-sided, it will give you 25 prophecies paired on the back of the paper with 25 fulfillments of that prophecy. And all of the prophecies pertain to the coming Messiah.
Can you give us a couple examples? And,
yeah. So for example, one talked about how he would be born in Bethlehem. One talked about how he would be the rod of Jesse. So he would be a descendant of David. One talked about how by his stripes we are healed. That's the towering prophetic chapter of Isaiah 52, 53. And it paints this detailed picture of a suffering servant Messiah, which isn't, of course, the Messiah they were looking for. They were looking for the conquering king, but they didn't, you know, the Jews didn't understand at the time they were going to get the suffering servant first so he could pay the price for our sins. They just didn't, they didn't put it together.
Right.
So, but I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And frankly, the prophecies that I include in those 25 days of celebration of prophecy and fulfillment, I mean, that's less than 10% of the prophecies about the coming Messiah.
Okay.
So anyway, I really encourage your listeners to go check that out. So johndislin.com, click on Advent, print it out two-sided, and then celebrate God's ultimate gift to us in his Son by examining the prophecy and fulfillment and just marveling as a family at just how astounding it is that God told us ahead of time so that we would know what the authentic article would be, the genuine article in his Son.
Okay,
so back to my shopping list. Number four. this is kind of a lighthearted one, but I put here live a little. You know, I went on a special trip this past weekend with my daughters and a friend of mine, and we did a daddy's and daughter's just game day trip. You know, went to see a football game. And we just had the best time. I mean, it was just with friends, with family, and just lighthearted. We went and watched a football game, and it was fun. And yeah, the home team won, but it was just a blast, just being with each other, meeting a couple of new people who were friends of my friend. And we need to be. I wrote here. We need to be defiantly bold in pursuing joy this season. And so whatever that looks like in your community or in your life, I don't know what that looks like. Maybe go see a special show. Maybe go have a holiday, you know, lunch or dinner with an old friend you haven't caught up with. But go live a little, because the enemy wants to steal our joy, and we need to rage against that dying of the light, so to speak. So, Dave, I'll ask you, what's some fun sort of family outing you guys used to do or you guys still do around the holiday season?
Family of origin, you know, the basics, the tree, the fake chimney, but the togetherness that was there, but the images accompany in my memory. Today, it's a little bit of everything. It's going to movies, going out to dinner, just sitting around and talking and being together. So sometimes it's activity oriented, sometimes it's just us oriented. We're pretty eclectic in the ways that we find joy. We truly mm-hmm. are. And so that's a hard question to answer, because when it comes to these holidays, other than we're hosting for our family, my wife has a very large family, other than doing that, you know, I'm not sure what we're going to do, but I know we'll be doing something. We'll be going to church.
Very good.
We'll be going to church.
Yeah, go to church. Yeah. Add that to the list. Go to church. All right. Well, hey, let me keep moving with my list. So I can get to the end. But number five, and Dave, I think this is really important. You know, because people are listening to this message, the people who are listening to this message sort of pre-select, right? So they are probably believers. If they're not, they're really curious about, you know, all this hubbub about this Jesus guy that they've heard all this about, or that sure. they've been raging against their whole lives, you know, even though he paid the price that they could live. But there are a lot of people out there who hardly have heard the name of Jesus. They've never been to church. They've had a really hard life. There are people who are in a more desperate position of needing hope than maybe a lot of the people listening tonight or today or whenever you're listening. And so my fifth point is, share your commitment to joy with other people. And you know, Dave, I tell you, I've really become enamored with things that you can share that you still get to keep. And what I mean by that, for example, if you teach somebody how to do something, you don't lose the ability to do it yourself. You just expanded the number of people who know how to do it, right?
Right.
And so it's like that, where you share joy with somebody else, you become more joyful and they become more joyful. You know, it's not a zero sum game here.
Yeah, right? You're so right. Let me share this with you. What I learned from the field of psychology in my teaching days is that when we talk about random acts of kindness, you give something and don't expect anything in return. When a person gives an act of kindness, the serotonin levels, it's one of the antidepressant chemicals, joy chemicals in your brain, but serotonin levels measurably go up. And when you're the recipient of a random act of kindness, the same thing happens. But here's the amazing thing, John. When people observe someone doing a random act of kindness, this is why we like fun movies, they too get a serotonin bump. So it's good for us all the way around.
Yeah, and so I got a few ideas here that fall into that list, okay? And just ideas that, and somebody's going to come up with better ones than these right in their life here in the next month or two. For example, if you're eating a meal out, ask your waitress how you can pray for her before you say grace over the meal. If you're about to pull into a prime parking spot, and let's say there's somebody behind you who just missed it, and they're wondering to God why they never get that spot, why don't you wave to them, point to the spot, and you go find the next spot? Or I'll tell you another one, and my daughter experienced this. I love this story. She works at a local fast food restaurant, and somebody paid for the meal behind them. And then the next car pulled up and found out that the car in front of them paid. They paid for the car behind them. That chain, Dave, went on for 9 cars.
Wow. I had that happen to me last summer. Unfortunately, I was the last guy in line, and it was like 11 p.m., but this guy and I arrived at the same time. I motioned for him to go forward, and he paid for my meal. That was hilarious. And I guess when you order ahead of time on those speakers, they can say, oh, yeah, this is how much it costs. And I'm looking behind me, and there was no one there. So sometimes you just have to say thank you, and I got the last gift.
Absolutely. Isn't that great, though, that somebody did that for you? And think about how long you're going to remember that.
Yeah, that's
that
right.
sort of selfless act of kindness with no expectation of, a payback. So anyway, and there are lots of other ideas. Host a gathering with your neighbors, and I would really implore people to remember the parable of the Good Samaritan of Luke chapter 10. Somebody who clearly was busy, they had their own things to do, they seemed to be a person of means, and when others would not stop, like a priest and another person, I can't remember that person's profile, but the person stopped, they went over, above and beyond for that poor person, dying in the ditch, who has been beaten up by robbers. And let's be like the Good Samaritan. Really be like, everybody throws around that term Good Samaritan. Well, let's be that. Let's look for ways that we can be, that we can share that joy with people who really might need it more desperately than we do in this season.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Okay. Now, hey, quick question. How much time do I have left?
We had about 18 minutes.
Oh, good. All right. Good, good.
But you know what?
Okay.
Since
So
we're
here.
taking a mini break here, I got to get this in. Ladies and
Sure.
gentlemen, and I do the live reads because I believe in what we're doing. As we approach our economy's dark times, and it's going to get worse, we're losing the petrodollar status, and that's the only backing for the dollar. And the BRICS nations are challenging the power of the petrodollar. You need to diversify. And I've been advertising for Noble Gold for 5 years. I've been a customer for four, and for good reason, because I'm diversified. And I will say this to you sincerely: if you call them, they'll never pressure you. You have to close the deal. But you will walk out of there more diversified if you do what they ask you to do. They said, "We looked at your situation. We recommend X." If you do those things, you'll be in a much stronger position. And I know because I'm a walking testament to this. Now, the federal government makes me make this disclaimer: any past earnings are not reflective of future earnings, and of course, any investment carries an inherent risk. But we're really talking more about diversification than we are investment. Although they're getting into the silver game now too, because you may not be able to beat them, the new Green Deal. And silver is in solar panels and so much else that they're doing, and it's underpriced and undervalued. You might want to ask Noble Gold about getting involved in that too, because they are at the top of the game. And then finally, if you have an IRA, if your bank falters, they can keep your IRA. It's legal. It's a court ruling. It's a law, the Dodd-Frank law. They can keep it. You don't have any recourse. So why give them that opportunity? What you can do is convert to a gold IRA, and you control it, and gold has held its value for 6,000 years. So a lot of good things there at Noble Gold. That's why I believe in them so much. 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Or you can have free material sent to you, but you'll have to call them because they won't pester you. Go to goldbeforelate.com. That's goldbeforelate.com. And they'll send you a no obligation free information packet. Okay, John. Let's go. We got about 15 minutes left, and I want to hear the rest.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so my wish list number six for our lovely listeners is storm the gates of hell. And this is kind of a funny thing to add to the kind this kind of list that where we're talking about, having joy. But our enemy, and you know my background, Dave. I spent a couple of years fighting against the murder of unborn babies. And then I spent another couple of years fighting against human trafficking and satanic ritual abuse with Russ Dizdar. And when you do things like that, you come to have a richer understanding of the enemy. I'll put it that way. And part of that, Dave, is I think, so many times in scripture, we are described as sheep. And a sheep doesn't think like a wolf. Wolves are, for example, there was a story. You remember the story some months ago came out that there was a sheep herd in, I think it was Utah or Idaho. It was like 150 some odd sheep and a pack of wolves. basically killed the entire flock of sheep.
Yeah,
you
I
remember
heard
that?
that. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And people have to understand, the wolves did not eat 150 some odd sheep. I mean, that's just too much food. They killed them because they enjoy killing. It was sport. It was fun. And so, and there's a good reason why, you know, our enemies are likened to ravening wolves, because that's their nature. And if you haven't really been up close and personal with evil, and really deep, dark, depraved forms of evil, you might not have an appreciation for their nature. And without going into gory detail, I'll just say that, you know, what we just saw, Dave, in this election cycle is just one more example, you know, because, and frankly, I'm embarrassed. I don't know about you, Dave. I'd be interested to hear your call on this, because I'm so kind of embarrassed about my own perspective, but I'm embarrassed at myself that I actually held out hope that the same election process would result in a different outcome, when I know that our enemies control the process.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You just took the words out of my mouth.
Okay, perfect. And remember what Stalin said? I think it was Stalin who said, it matters not who votes. What matters is who counts the votes.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors learned that lesson very well. Yes, that's very accurate, my friend.
Yeah. And so we've got, you know, not only do we have a broken voting system, we've got a broken everything system. And it's not going to fix itself. And our enemy is not going, our enemies who want to deprive us of everything, right? They're not going to stop. And so the reason this is on this list is that I don't know about you, Dave. Actually, I'm really interested in this answer. Let me ask you a question. How much more or less joyful have you found yourself in these years when you have been on the front line, you've been warning people, you've been calling out the traitors, you've been calling out the wicked? How does your joy metric these days compare to the joy you had, let's say, in years past when you were a coach or a teacher?
I have to take spiritual showers more often. I've said this on the air more than once. My happiest days were when I was teaching and I was coaching, just for the sure enjoyment of looking forward to getting out of bed. Because unfortunately, I have to roll in human excrement created by Satan's followers, who are trying to impose their satanic will upon us. And it's really depressing, and I have to fight against that. Now, I will say this. I'm able to leave my work behind here at the microphone and go out and do other things and find joy in those things. But there is no joy here behind the microphone, because it's a war I've been called to fight, and wars are not fun.
I understand. And it's hard. I guess my contention would be there's value in knowing that you're doing good. And I would hope you get that from listeners who reach out to you, who leave you comments, who send you messages of gratitude, because I get them. And I'll tell you, I've gotten about 80 reviews of my book, Nehemiah Strong, you know. And when I get down, when I get frustrated with things and things aren't going how I'd like them to, the encouragement and the gratitude of the people who bought Nehemiah Strong and it, for whom it made a real difference, is as encouraging as anything I've ever had happen in my life. And I've done some pretty cool stuff in my life, but that beats everything I've done in my life. So anyway, I would implore, as you do, I mean, you do it all the time, right? You just did it earlier on this call. I would implore the listeners to find your place on that Isaiah 59 battlefield, where the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against the flood of evil, right? and get busy, get active joyfully in resisting the enemy, in standing as an agent for good against the wickedness. And I'll give you a few examples that that I thought of. You know, one is we've all heard about the story hour in the libraries. What's the word?
The drag queen
drag
hour.
Time story hour.
The drag queen.
Yeah, drag queen story time. Yeah. How about somebody goes into the library and reads Bible stories to kids at the local library?
I think they should do it at the same time they're doing the drag queen hour.
Absolutely. Hey, let's riff off of that. How about you, the listener, compile a list of scriptures that speaks to the destruction of the wicked, and you go into drag queen story hour and read those scriptures with a few buddies, not alone, and you go in there and you bring truth, you speak truth to power, and you just calmly, firmly read those scriptures while they're doing what they're doing. And see how the Lord's going to move in that place.
Yeah, I hear you.
And there's a bunch here. You know, confront your local school board. Write an op-ed piece to the local paper. Start a home church. I hear all these people complaining about how they don't have a local church. Well, if you look in the book of Acts, Dave, I know you know this, but the churches were in people's homes almost all through the book of Acts.
I know.
And so start a home church.
If you want compromised theology, go to a large church where the government only has to pinpoint one person and use 501c3 to do it.
Oh, and I'll tell you, it grieved me. I was at a church, a friend's church, a couple of weeks ago, and you know, I'm playing along, and I spent the night at their house and you know, had a lot of fun, and I love these people, you know, to a large degree, Dave, I don't blame them because they are earnestly seeking God's face. Okay. I mean, they are serious and heartfelt and honest about their pursuit of a relationship with God. I go to this church and I stand up and the music starts. And of course this music is like this repetitive rote thing. It's got no substance to it, but I'm looking and I think, oh my gosh, I felt like I was either about to faint or I was losing my vision. Seriously, for a few seconds, I'm like, what is going on with my eyesight? And then I realized that they were, they had turned on the smoke machine and there was this light smoky mist coming out of the ceiling. And I just thought to myself, oh Lord, if that's their idea of the spirit of the Lord moving in the church, that they got to flip on the smoke machine, then, you know, I need to be somewhere else.
That is just bizarre. What did they expect to come out of the smoke? I don't even want to answer that question. But anyway, that's just bizarre.
Yeah.
That's just bizarre.
Lastly, and fortunately, there's a lot of that sort of nonsense in today's churches. And you know, Dave, it shouldn't be lost on people that the pastors are taught in seminary and amongst other, you know, organizations, that they need to do things like that to have a successful church. You know, the nonsensical, inane music, the smoke. I mean, I've heard about gold glitter being released into the vents to have gold dust fall on people during services. And it goes on and on. But
anyway, you know what I would add as a third prop to that church? A little simulated fire to show if you don't pay attention to what you need to pay attention to, this awaits you. That would be the appropriate prop for me, fires of hell.
That would be good.
The fires of hell.
Exactly. Yeah, I bet none of them are having the fires of hell prop, are they?
There's Special something effect. To be said for brimstone, because fear of what you're not doing can be a powerful motivator for change.
Yeah, amen. And for those listeners who are like I was and who are like playing games with God, where you got one foot in, one foot out, and you're counting on him to be your savior, but he's not the Lord of your life, I implore you in this season, while we still have a facade of normalcy to get really serious with God and get on your knees and repent, turn away from the allure of this world that so easily besets us, as the phrase says in Scripture, and get right with God, because now's the time. One other thing, by the way, Dave, on this section of you know, storm the gates of hell on my wish list is the armor of God section in Ephesians 6. And in verse 10, I love what it says. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." You know, I think a mistake that we often make when we're in these battles is we rely on our own strength. Paul here in Ephesians chapter 6 is telling us, you, listener, you be strong in the power of his might, right? So don't rely on your own strength to do it. Press into him, lean into him, and let him be strong through you. And you'll be amazed at what you can accomplish.
Yes.
When you approach life that way.
Couldn't agree with you more. That's you're right on the money. But see, here's what this requires, though, John. This requires someone having self-insight and awareness, and then, of course, conviction. And these are traits that have become increasingly dormant in Americans.
Yeah. And, you know, what I'm hopeful of, Dave, is at least this remnant that's listening to you, that you know, they could be doing all these other worldly things, but they're listening to you. And I'm hopeful, you know, I talked before about that Isaiah 59, you know, the Lord, Spirit of the Lord raising up a standard. I think something that's imperative in this season has to do with the sons of Issachar, of First Chronicles, I think it's 12:32, where it's talking about the sons of Issachar, and it says that they had the discernment to recognize the signs of the times, that they might know what to do. And that there was something special about that tribe of Issachar among the Israelites, where they had understanding. And I would encourage people, like, if you feel confused or you don't have clarity on what's going on in the world today, I would encourage you to seek God's face for discernment, and even pray for that. Say, Lord, give me the discernment of the sons of Issachar, that you might know what to do. And I challenge you to do that if you lack discernment, because he will give you what you ask for.
You know, I agree. And I look at this too, kind of like a domino. We have a decent sized audience. And if we just reach a few new people who, you know, maybe are kind of on the edge of coming to the Lord and doing the Lord's work, maybe this will push them over the edge and will have a domino effect with other people. I recognize that. But I'm just saying, collectively as a country, we've lost a lot of what made America great. And what made America great was our adherence to the Word of God. Our founding fathers knew this all too well, and we've allowed ourselves to get away from it. And when they look at the Democratic Party, they took God out of the party platform a long time ago. And I look at that and I just say, they're in charge. No wonder things are going to hell in a handbasket.
Yep. Well, yes. And then, of course, I mean, there's that towering verse in, what is it, 1 Chronicles 7:14, that says, if my people who are called by my name will repent, turn from their wicked ways,
right.
pray, and seek my face, then I will hear them, I'll have mercy on them, and I will heal their land. And so you said something compelling, and I'm not meaning to correct you on your own show, but they're not in charge.
Well, they're in charge of the politics right now. They most certainly are. How many millions of babies are they going to continue to murder?
I don't know, but I guarantee you, if enough people in this country who were called by God's name got on their knees and repented and called on God to move, God would move.
I know. Listen,
I think it's
I have
on
said
us.
This.
That's what convicted me. John, that's when I started going to the abortion mill.
I have said that.
It's on us.
So many times that if we would repent, we could turn things around for our children and yeah. have a sane society. We got about 20, 25 seconds left. Tell people how they can get a copy of your book.
Absolutely. The website is johndyslin.com. That's spelled D-Y-S-L-I-N, johndyslin.com. There's discount code DAVE1 for you followers of Dave Hodges is 10% off. Okay. And don't forget to click that Advent button for a free Advent gift for your family.
Absolutely. Well, John, it's been a pleasure having you on. Let's keep fighting the good fight. We can lick our wounds, but then we have to come back and keep on fighting with the Lord's help. Thank you so much for your role in what you do. We'll talk to you soon.